welcome, as always, even though we are under the Two Generations of Gaming banner. This is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this video series, I am reading and reacting to Dragons of Fate, the latest Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman book from the Dragonlance series. I got into a Tuesday-Thursday schedule, but then within the second week I violated it. I'm back to school, and the kids are back, and I'm back to running Aiden to and from soccer. So Thursday got busy. Yesterday wasn't really busy, and I could have recorded, but I wasn't quite done with my notes yet. So I finished up my notes this morning, and now I'm going to record and release it on Saturday like I said I would. Next week, we'll be back to the Tuesday and Thursday schedule. In this episode, I'm going to read through Chapter 9, Chapter 10, Chapter 11. I'll give my reaction to it. And then at the end, I will tell you my idea for the next book in the series that I got the other day when I was talking to Quinn. Chapter 9. In the dining hall, they see that the tables serve a dual purpose. Titus must roll up maps and store them so that they can eat. Taz asks to see a map because he enjoys reading and studying them. Titus initially hesitates, but Sturm assures him that it will keep Taz busy, so he relents. A man, the family retainer, comes into the hall. Titus assures him, with the man's look of disapproval, that they all come as guests and should be fed. Sturm makes the comment that they pulled the troops to concentrate them in this area. Titus nods. He had no other choice, given the circumstances. God save the High Clerist Tower. About the High Clerist. Titus again responds that he will explain after they eat. He needs a drink to loosen his tongue to tell the tale. They enjoy a meal of stew and ale. Raistlin takes only water. He needs to study spells and wants a clear mind. Taz joins them for the meal. He says the map reminds him of one he saw that was made before the Fiery Mountain inflicted by the gods. Titus inquires about that. Raistlin deflects. After the meal, Titus drinks dwarf spirits and asks if they know about the fall of Palanthast. Raistlin confirms that Tully told them, but don't know the whole truth. Titus confirms. In addition, he gives more detail. They set fire to the Temple of Paladin and killed or drove out the clerics. They tried to do the same to the library, but Gillian prevented entry by shutting the windows and doors and reinforcing the marble so that they could not attack it properly. The Tower of High Sorcery? Still standing. Not even Minotaur will brave that Shoiken Grove. The Lord of Palanthast and other refugees came to the tower. 1,000 men-at-arms and knights were there answering the call to defend the tower. The Lord begged the High Clerist to send the knights to retake the city of Palanthast. Some spoke out against the plan, but they insisted. Their pride hurt by the theft of the city by such quote-unquote dumb beasts, they set out for the city. Titus drinks more. He assures them that nobody knew about Immolatus. The Red Dragon ambushed them in the pass. Titus saw the blaze in the distance and knew what happened. He set up for any survivors. A fortnight, and then I put a parenthetical there, probably that I was going to look it up to see if that's actually what I meant, but we'll go with it. A fortnight later, none ever arrived. Then, the dragon took up residence above the tower. Some men fought against the dragon fear. Others, as they know, deserted. And there the dragon remains. The same morning, once the high tower falls, the Dark Queen rules all of Salamnia. Humor remarks that he didn't know things were quite so dire. Titus explains. Takis has summoned the other gods of evil to fight with her. Palanthast to the Minotaur. Chemosh, god of the undead, took Solanthas. The plague god Morrigan brought death to Vingard Keep, stronghold of the knights. Now, Takis concentrates all of her might on the tower. Titus makes a move to retire for the night when they hear a commotion from the kitchen. They go to investigate, and a woman comes through the door. Huma grabs her by the shoulder, and she cries out in pain.
Gwyneth!
Taz notices. Huma confirms. It's you, he remarks, that he's been looking for her and apologizes for hurting her. But he notices she is already wounded. No cleric, Titus says. Sturm replies that Raistlin knows healing herbs. Initially, he misses the remark. He sees both of Gwyneth's faces, elf and dragon, because of his magic eyes. Huma breaks through his haze. She refuses Raistlin's help. Will, the retainer, comes in to accuse her of theft. Or maybe he's the cook. Taz comes to her defense. Huma stares in awe and admiration. They accuse her again. Taz again defends her, explaining how they met. Things calm into an uncomfortable truce. She notices Huma and pauses, remarking that he became a knight. Because of you, he confirms. She insists that she only showed him his true self. Titus doesn't care to hear the story of how they met and orders her into the dungeon. Sorted out in the morning, Raistlin asks for supplies to work on her wound. He remembers that she was shot by an arrow. Goblins, she says. Then she says she's a spy, but not for Takesis, only to see if they will stand and fight. Of course they will, Huma says, but she knew that. She becomes defensive. Huma declares love. Taz interrupts. She's the white stag. That's how she got hurt. Raistlin tries to divert attention from that type of talk. Will comes in to take her to the dungeon. Raistlin will make a healing salve for her wound. Huma offers to accompany her to the dungeon. Taz tries to reassure her that the dungeons are probably very nice. Then, when they leave, he asks, she's from the song, right? At Raistlin's insistence, Sturm reminds them of the song. Then he asks what Raistlin saw. Both elf and dragon, Raistlin says. She must be from the song. Well then, they must fall in love, Taz says. Raistlin replies, that appears fated. Sturm brings up that Quenneth feared what might happen if Huma fell in love with her as an elf, but then learned about her dragon form. So, why risk it? Himalotus. She knows the knights have no hope against the dragon without help in the dragon lances. She knows where to find them. So, history proceeds. Raistlin agrees. Taz has an outburst. History can happen. Huma and Gwyneth will die. Magius too, Raistlin notes. Taz despairs. You never cared before. Well, now I know them, and I don't want them to die. Too much death already. He starts to cry. He wants to go to bed. Raistlin and Sturm come with him. They talk. Sturm is convinced that they haven't changed anything. Raistlin agrees, but they do need to get home. The risk still remains. Tenfold now, possibly thanks to the gem. He will find Magius and try to get him to tell him where the device is. They arrive at the rooms. The guard points out Destina's room. He then locks Taz in a room. Good luck with that, right? Before allowing him to retire, Raistlin tells Sturm of what he did, who he became. Sturm wonders why he bothered. Raistlin starts to cough, then answers. Taz knows and will blab sooner or later. Sturm asks the question I asked last episode. Any remorse? Raistlin can't answer. Sturm slams the door on him. Raistlin notices a light in Magius' room. The man fell asleep in his chair studying Duloc. He dims the staff, then goes to his own room. After studying his spell, he sleeps. Long chapter. You see why I decided to break there last episode? Chapter 10. Raistlin wakes up the next morning, later than expected. Offered a basin and water, he bathes, practicing his magic as well. After dressing, he runs into the guard on duty outside of his room. Reginald informs him that the knights went to inspect tower defenses, Magius to find breakfast, and Destina is still in her room. Raistlin asks if she's okay, as far as he knows. What about Taz? His room too. Raistlin asks him how many kender he knows. Taz is the only one. Well, nope. Door unlocked and Taz gone. Raistlin offers to search while he goes to find Magius as well. Raistlin offers to search. Instead, he found Magius in the dining hall, eating. Magius offers him some. He declines, feeling queasy at the thought. He goes into the kitchen to search for Taz, parenthetically no luck, and gets some water for his tea. Magius comments on the smell, as many do when they first encounter it. He asks Magius about Huma's obsession with Gwyneth. Magius tells the story of her and the reassurance that she gave him in the birth of a knight. Magius wants to go see her in the dungeon. Raistlin says he will join him. Taz walks in. He explains that he's looking for the dragon orb. Raistlin warns him. He then talks in code about it. Magius sends Taz for breakfast and suggests that he and Raistlin need to talk finally. They climb to the top of the tower for privacy. Raistlin notices that there are more troops, but sees no sign of Immolatus. Magius cuts to the chase. How does Taz know of the dragon orbs? Raistlin tells the whole story, even if he knows Magius will not believe it all. Sure enough, even though he encourages Raistlin to tell the story, after hearing it, he brands it preposterous. Raistlin gains his attention again by mentioning that Magius himself planned to use the device. He explains that, while destroyed, quote, in the future, end quote, it still exists in this time, and Magius probably knows where it is. Magius plays coy with that information. He brings the conversation to Destina's gem, which Raistlin confirms is the Grey Gem, but he will not reveal any of her other secrets about it. He also will not tell Magius about his or Huma's destiny, for fear of altering time. Magius instead asks about the account written about his flirtation with the device. Raistlin gives him the story. Magius confirms and adds that Huma prevented him from using the device even though it was Huma's sister. He also confirms that 5 years ago, the device was in Palanthas. Now, probably still, but he honestly has no idea. Magius then asks about the dragon orb. Raistlin doesn't know the story. Magius wants to use the orb to battle Immolatus. So, tit for tat, Raistlin gets help finding the device if he helps Magius get the orb into the tower. Two other threads to pull. Raistlin confirms that he possesses the staff in the future, and wizards can now carry small-bladed daggers as a last line of defense due to a wizard being left defenseless in the past, in his past. Chapter 11. While they make their way down, they run into Titus. He apologizes for a commotion in the night when they apprehended another spy. The spy revealed no information, so Titus intends to let him stew. Magius offers to try. Titus, untrusting, says that they prohibit torture. The assumption angers Magius. Magius, now motivated to meet Gwyneth and interrogate the new spy, ignores Titus and goes to the dungeon. Raceland gets the balm for Gwyneth along the way. While walking, Magius tells a story of him and Huma as children. They used to come to the dungeon often and pretend to be great heroes. In the dungeon, the jailer rests against the wall. He starts and claims not to be sleeping. Then he mentions how busy the dungeon has been. While explaining, he tells them that Huma came to talk to Gwyneth. For some reason, this surprises Magius. When he asks why they're there, they say that they came to interrogate the spy. It might be a plain-clothed wizard. This spooks the jailer, but they assure him they can sniff out such a trick. While Magius makes a show of literally smelling the quote-unquote rat, Raceland puts the guard to sleep with a spell. They steal his keys and first search for Gwyneth. They find her and Huma in the fourth cell, talking and laughing. Raceland moves to interrupt them, but Magius stops him and lets Huma finish his story. After finishing the story, then allowing them to enjoy it for a moment, Magius clears his throat and Raceland raps on the door to get their attention. Raceland gives her the balm. She and Huma part ways. The two wizards talk with her as Raceland applies the balm. Then they move on to find the man they came to question. He's been worked over by the knights, and he reacts to the wizards with terror. Magius charms him. He is Calaf from Sanction. The red dragon Immolatus sent him. The dragon plans to launch an attack, but he must wait for the Dark Queen. After questioning him, so disgusted by his answers, Magius hits him with the staff and lets Raceland ask him some questions. Raceland asks about other spies. There are others. Mull and Tully? Calaf doesn't know. Raceland threatens him, but he can't name names. As he leaves, Gwyneth stops him. She seems concerned about all that the spy said. He leaves her to consider the consequences for herself. They convince the guard that he fell asleep, then Magius asks after Taz. He wants to discuss the dragon orb with the Kender. And now for my reaction. What did I like least? Even though I am slowly becoming a grumpy old man, and I find that more things annoy me more easily than they ever did before, I'm still having trouble figuring out what I like least about this book. I know that comes as a surprise to those of you who listen to me complain about the previous one for 20 plus episodes, but in all honesty, they fix much of what I didn't like about that book. In the interest of discussion, I feel compelled to come up with something. I guess if pressed, I'd have to say the love affair between Huma and Gwyneth. I understand that it's integral to the story. I also understand that it fills that star-crossed lovers trope. Maybe that's it. I mean, I never cared for Tanis and Kitiara's story from the first trilogy. It always felt awkward and out of place during a time of war. Same with Anakin and Padme from the prequels in Star Wars. I always just thought that George Lucas's awkward writing style ruined that for me. But maybe it's just that I don't want romance in my science fiction fantasy epics. What I can say is that I skipped over the parts both times I read the chapters, once to read, and once to write these notes. So while I don't hate it, I definitely like that part the least. And now for what I liked best. This one is easy. I came to a possible epiphany during last episode about Raceland's story and his possible reconciliation. Again, I obviously have no idea if Weiss and Hickman are planning that for this trilogy or not, but especially by Raceland's standards, he's going through this book as an absolute white hat. Sure, he still has his moments. He used his torture of Dalamar as fuel to scare the spy. Other than small scenes like that, though, he helps Gwyneth with the balm, keeps Taz in line with very few threats. On that for a moment. When he pulled out his dagger to cut the pouch, I legit worried for a minute that he'd use it for a more violent purpose. Not stabbing one end necessarily, but certainly threatening. So no, I'm not used to this new Raceland. Not one bit. In fact, if I'm being honest, part of me feels uneasy. I don't want to like him again for fear that the old terrible Raceland shows up again. But for now, I will enjoy my old friend and his journey to the light side. But that's not what I like most. His friendship with Magius brings me such joy. The two of them obviously need the companionship of someone like them. They joke and collaborate, bringing out the best of each other. At this point, I'm reading the book exclusively to see what happens next with the two of them. I already said I don't care about Huma and Gwyneth. Taz is, falling back into character as a humorous sidekick. Destina and Sturm serve little purpose right now other than the occasional roadblock because of their beliefs. And honestly, someone like Titus could fill that role. Nope, for me, the book is all about Magius and Raceland right now. Bring me more of them, and I don't care what you do with the rest of the story, honestly. A discussion about the new characters. No new characters per se, parenthetically. Looked up to make sure I used that right. I think I did, in parenthetical. Other than the spy. And he just served to move the plot forward. But I want to follow up on things I said last time. Titus filled his role nicely of introducing the new spy, and providing some resistance to the mages getting their information. He may play a more integral role later, but I stand by my idea that he's little more than a supporting character. Right now, I'll take that win. What I'm more proud of is that I sniffed out their plans for Tully. I knew he was more than a red herring. Otherwise, Raceland's obsession with him made little sense. If he's a spy and he marched through the literal heart of their defenses, he's going to come back to cause some serious hurt for our heroes. Mark my words. Story progression and pacing. Even though I don't like the Huma/Gwyneth romance, I have to admit that so far, everything in the book serves to progress the story. I honestly don't feel any of it is wasted. I rarely said that about the first book. Hell, I consider the first 10 chapters of that one as completely unnecessary. Prologue. Weiss and Hickman know what they want to tell in this one, and they are telling it. Along those same lines, the pacing feels right too. You might complain that they're taking a little bit too long in setting up the Battle of the Tower. A valid complaint, if so. I mean, if Tikisis just allowed the dragon to burn the damn place down, not a thing anyone could do about it, other than die. But with every passing moment, they get closer to obtaining and using that dragon orb to their advantage. I have two counter-arguments for that that make sense to me. One, as an author, you control the flow and pace of your narrative. That's mainly what this section is about, after all. So I give them the benefit of the doubt. If they want to milk this for the sake of drama, who am I to argue? Also, story-wise, they've already established the dragon is overly confident. I doubt he's even considering that they have access to a dragon orb. So he willingly follows Takisis' orders to simply bide his time and scare them until the inevitable slaughter. Therefore, other than that minor criticism, parenthetically, that I successfully counter-argued with myself, and parenthetical, I have no issues with these chapters. If you've been following along with the series, you know they have absolutely no issue at all with this book as a whole. I like this book so much that I want to go back and read the first one again. If this ends up being only a trilogy, parenthetically, I heard plans of quote-unquote more books in the Dragonlance series, so maybe this series itself gets more books and fairly long parenthetical, then I'll go back to them and read them again as a whole series. After I finish this one, I have another plan that I will discuss in the outro and put in the show notes. For now, let's wrap this up and get to that outro. So I think I mentioned at some point, maybe in a video, maybe in one of these episodes, maybe in the Two Guys Gaming episode, that Quinn loves Jurassic Park and everything Jurassic Park. A couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago, he asked to get the Jurassic Park novels, so we got them for him. And he read through the first one, and as he was reading through, he talked to me a little bit about it, and I realized that I haven't read the book for 30-plus years, and I didn't really remember a lot of what he said. So I think after I do this series, I'm going to go and I'm going to read Jurassic Park as the next series of Noobs Book Club. That's the big reveal, folks. Jurassic Park coming in the next series of Noobs Book Club in a couple of months whenever I wrap up Dragons of Fate. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, a link to our socials, including our YouTube, which is still just me doing the daily RPG calendar, but again, I have a long weekend, and I don't think we're doing anything tonight, so maybe I can sit down and finally record my Minecraft video to put that up onto the YouTube and get some variety going. I'm also going to record a short video of me driving a truck for the truck driving simulation that I'm going to cover next month. In a couple of weeks, we will have the first episode of the reboot of Two Guys Gaming with me and Chris. We talked about Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, so it's not next week, but the week after that I plan to put that one up. Next week I'm going to do Dungeons & Dragons and other role-playing games, and then I will do Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter to celebrate the release of that episode. We've already talked about next month, which is going to be October. We're going to talk about our favorite spooky books, movies, video games, whatever, as that episode. So we have the first two episodes planned. As Chris said, it seems sustainable. Look for Two Guys Gaming to join the rotation in a couple of weeks and come out monthly. I will be back with episode 5 of this series on Tuesday. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are Two Guys Gaming.